We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jack Ramsey's Danny Meringue, Brandon Sprague. The plan for doing content in Vegas. Let's hold on. Let's do this live. Let's see. It's right here.
Nice.
This is the Apple work order for my laptop yes. that decided to crap out on me the day before I left.
Oh.
So. My beautiful MacBook Pro that allows me to do all the things I can do was not good. Literally the only problem I've ever had with that thing ever, and that's only a year and a half old. Yeah, year and a half
Honestly,
old.
Honestly, I found once I heard that the wife was going, I was like, we ain't doing shit. He's going to Vegas. He's got his wife. It's summer league. He's going to enjoy himself.
So I did enjoy myself. Wife enjoyed herself. We enjoyed ourselves together. But it was great. It was a great, great time.
Splash.
Here's the thing. Let's kind of go. Let's go over the trip real quick. So my wife had never been to Vegas before. Again, I talked about it. I was going to go slum it up. She wanted to come and hang out, and I was like, cool. Just know that there's going to be 2 days while I'm down there. I'm going to be gone, which she was thrilled with because she got a fully paid trip to a very nice hotel suite at the Mandalay, and then she on my work days she. Did what she wanted to do. She went shopping and went to the strip. She walked, she said, like 10 miles up and
Jeez.
Down the strip. Yeah, she said she had like 5 bottles of water.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she went into all the stores, the indoor mall. Checked out, like, saw the Fountain of the Bellagio and
yep.
went to all the casinos and went into the high end mall at Aria, where it's nothing but like high end department stores. Yeah, she did all the stuff she wanted to do when she wanted to do it while I was in Thomas and Mac watching basketball, which hit or miss on some basketball for sure.
Yeah, some of that basketball has been woof, and some of the basketball has been, hey, it's yeah, pretty entertaining.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, random note, multiple NBA executives I talked to said Chet Holmgren will be an all-defensive player in his first 3 years in the league.
Oh, I think that's been abundantly clear.
Yeah. He's special on that end of the floor.
I think Paolo's going to be averaging like 24 this year. Like, I think he's got that kind of
Orlando's going to win 18 games, but he's going to average 24. I tell you what, man, that first half against Sacramento, he played exactly zero defense.
Yeah.
Exactly zero. And everybody in the stands was like, ugh. And then the second half he showed like, no, I can give a shit. I can play defense on that end. He had obviously had the chase down block on Kata that ended up, you know, turning into a winning play for them. But Paolo's been good. Like,
I think it's easy to go, oh, Chet's played pretty well. People are impressed with Chet. I'm happy for OKC fan. Let me interrupt this right now. I don't give a damn about Zombie Sonic fan. They had their run. They got to the finals. They had KD and Russ for years. They had Harden. Like, I don't care if they're good or not. I'm actually most happy, not for Magic fan either. The Kangs, Keegan Murray,
Listen,
looking
man,
good.
I had a group of like 20 Kings fans to the right of me in the media section at Thomas and Mac who were lit at noon. Just
oh yeah.
Oh, every single time Paolo touched the ball, overrated. Like, not even like an overrated chant. It was like a stumbling through of overrated.
Like a slurry overrated. Oh, yeah. Like, overrated.
For four quarters. Relentless. It was great. They were so good. The whole section like was feeding off their energy, and it made it sound like a playoff game in Thomas and Mack when that game got close and then went to overtime and obviously double overtime. But the entire trip itself, very beneficial for me. I got to kind of grow some relationships and talk to some guys and kind of get some understanding and some feedback of where the organization's at, kind of what's going on in the NBA. It's just a network fest. It really is, and it's fantastic for that. There's really nothing better. It was kind of funny. I talked about, you know, watching a game with Kiki, and I actually ran into Kiki outside on the concourse for a few minutes. Got to catch up with him, Kiki Vandeweghe, for those who don't know what I'm talking about. And got to talk to him for a few minutes. Ran into David Griffin literally on the concourse. And it's such a weird thing. And then
they're all just chilling. Yeah. Like they're just, it's like a vacation for them, but like they're super open. People taking pictures with everybody. Like, yeah.
Said what's up to the logo. Jerry West was over my shoulder for the most of one game.
How tough was it to not turn and go, Jerry, I love you. You ended up becoming the best character in that show, man. Drop the beef. Listen, drop the beef.
I had a lot of people around me like, pretty fun show.
Must be winning time, huh, Jerry? Huh?
The craziest, like, random thing was I tweeted it out. I watched the last game down there with Darius Garland.
Oh, shout out just, Darius Garland.
Just chilling. Just pulled up a chair and sat down in the baseline media section because all of the other, he was sitting, listen, the seats there, not nice. The courtside seats, those are like the bench seats that have like the extra padding and are super comfortable. Darius just pulled up in a hoodie and sat down and chilled. I was like, man of the people, Darius Garland. Okay.
Hey, can I hold $100, Darius? You just got paid.
Yeah,
so.
You should have, what did he get, 191?
Yeah, I think he got that rookie max.
Yeah, he got a big bag. Smashed some incredible food. Took a wife to Lupo, the Wolfgang Puck restaurant inside Mandalay Bay. Got myself a big old piece of braised veal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Braised. Chef came over, braised for 4 hours. He's like, it's wonderful.
Did
the kiss. Like, grab the bone, it'll fall right off the bone. And I was like, yeah, a little of that, a little bottle of wine. It was on. So. But
and you got to see the seventh overall pick not do anything.
Yeah, let's kind of get into it.
Awesome.
So when it happened live, everybody was kind of like, wait, what? Our angle wasn't great on it. And when it happened, he walked by, basically his shoulder had already gone back in. So like he wasn't in pain. Like he just walked by, went to the back, came back out relatively quickly. Like he wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they shut him down. Then he sat on the bench, and I had a few people DM me, a few other people text me that from the other side of the gym that, hey, you know, he's been trying to get back in. I was able to talk to some other people that said the same thing, that Shaden did try to get back into the game. And a lot of this, I asked some medical staff around the league, kind of like, hey, you know, with Shaden's injury, like, yeah, no, with something like that, if it's not that bad, they said, you know, it's a small tear. It's one of those things where if – you get something like that and the location of it. I think they called it a posterior labral tear. That is like the least severe. And if it's small enough, it can come out and it'll hurt like hell, but it can go back in. And then the pain's kind of gone. But with that kind of injury, and here's your first little bit of hope, Rip City, in talking to a bunch of other medical folks with this kind of injury, it's atypical for surgery. That if it's small enough, and the location and the size of it is such that they can get to a point where it can heal on its own.
Hmm.
So that's good news, because let's be honest, if he gets cut open, it's Christmas. If he gets cut open, it's Christmas. It's 4 to 6 months, and it's
and also, by the way, it's not to interrupt you, Danny, there, but like if that was the scenario, it's Christmas. When he's playing, he's not playing for the team if it's Christmas, because they're going to have to get him reworked,
that's
get going.
That's
you know
him
what I mean?
Getting like, ramped up. That's him getting ramped up. So let's say it's 4 months we're in month number four. He gets ramped up around Thanksgiving, gets ready to go about Christmas.
Sure.
So you definitely don't want to see that at all. Jeremy Cricklow says, poor J. Kyle Pan. He was so excited to see Sharp play. I was with Kyle 25 minutes before the game. He, I'm going to out him here. He ended up going out to dinner with Kevin O'Connor. It was like, you know, KLC is going to go out to dinner. I think I'm going to go. I'm like, you're going to miss this? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go. I don't.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He skipped Shaden Sharp to go have dinner with Kevin O'Connor.
Kevin's his buddy. They're both.
Well, I was gonna say like, yeah, they're homies. Like, can't you just get another dinner if you want to see somebody?
I imagine that dinner maybe had some juice to it.
Oh, okay. I know somebody that works for the league that might have been at that dinner, and so he posted it on his IG, and it, I think his caption, what did it read? It said, "Kevin O dinner," and it was
nice.
Just like. But just a video of their spread. I'm like, oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks good.
So yeah, that dinner had some juice to it. But we were talking about his debut, and because you know he's a big Sharp guy. He really wanted to see Shaden play, and obviously everybody did.
Right.
And you know, when it happened, it didn't seem like it was that serious. And honestly, the organization, I don't believe it was that serious. Post-game, Coach Hetz came over and he apologized. He's like, hey, I haven't got a update on it, but, you know, like the way he kind of inferred didn't seem like it was that bad. But when he didn't practice the next day, it was like, ooh, this isn't good. But as I understand it, it's a situation where they're hoping for the best right now before they opt for surgery. So it's a legit. We're going to wait and see how it looks 10 to 14 days. We've played this waiting game before with like Zach, and we were like, yeah, we're going to reevaluate. Like, yeah. No, you're not. That's he was holding his shoulder down a foot from where it was supposed to be. That's not how that goes.
But it is our fear. Like I'll speak for people right now thinking the same thing. I've been thinking this. I said it today, this morning, without anybody taking this personal, this organization and their track record of honesty with injuries or upfrontness, I guess, with the extensive details, it's not the most amazing. And so, like, I believe what you're saying, but also we can't have nice things. And I remember three different experiences just with Zach Collins of like, oh, I've heard he's in practice, looks good. 2 weeks, they'll talk. 2 weeks later, he's done for the year. And you're like,
yeah.
How did this messaging get screwed up?
Chukwudi says, Danny, do you feel better about how the organization has handled this medical info compared to before? Yes. Yes, I do. They're still Patriots-esque, but without the veneer of shittiness behind it. So, like, it's...
Put that on a t-shirt. We're Patriots-esque without the shittiness.
Like they're gonna do it. It's fine. I've accepted it, but they do it with a smile, and I'd much rather have that. You know, that's where I stand at least. So, did you crap your pants when you saw it happen live?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I gotta be 100% honest with you. So I'm sitting on my couch. I'm super excited. Like it's kind of pushing against my bedtime in a normal day, right?
Yeah, because let's remember, this game started at 9:15 local time.
Yeah, these douchebag refs, too. I mean, what are we doing here? You're not the star of the show. Nobody cared about you. These games will be an hour and 20 minutes.
70 fouls, 5 delay of games, 5 technical fouls.
We're reviewing technical fouls. I'm just like, get out of here. 7 minutes.
That review went unbelievable. 7 minutes. I wanted to strangle somebody.
But I'm sitting on my couch excited like everybody else. I see him hit the turnaround fade. You know, he's a little rusty with them 2 missed shots. Hits the turnaround fade. I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's see if he can get this going.
Tell you what, that one shot, awful nice.
We're going to be dining on that for 3 years until he actually does anything. We'll be like, remember that fade, though? But I missed it in real time. Mm-hmm. I was watching him, but like I was kind of like watching everything. And then he subs out with the rest of the starters. And then I notice he's not on the bench. And I'm like, wait, what happened? And then I kept seeing Twitter was up to everybody's like, oh, Elbow was on Twitter. Elbow is what I saw on Twitter. I'm like, crap, man. And then it ends up being a shoulder. And you're just like, oh, my God. The last guy we picked in the lottery had shoulder problems. Here we go again.
Yeah. So for those that don't know or don't know where the injury came, this is going to play really horribly on the podcast, but I'll try to explain it to you. Just bend your elbow at 90 degrees and put it out in front of you. The impact came up from his elbow into his shoulder.
So like pushes your shoulder so into like your neck kind of?
Up this way.
Yeah.
So that's where the injury came from. And gotcha. It was very quick. It was very innocuous. And just asking around to a bunch of people around the league, they all kind of had the same thing. Like he has played against high school, you know, sophomores and juniors. He has not played competitive basketball against guys like not on his team in over a year plus against competition.
Grown now, men, too,
and,
by
the way. I was just going to say, and yeah. You had Jaden Ivey, Isaiah Stewart, and Jalen Duren.
Yeah.
Grown-ass men. Like, listen, you can say what you want, Jaden Ivey being a rookie. Jaden is built.
Yep.
And he played Big Ten basketball. Like, that's the thing, is Shaden has got to work his way into this. Now, I made this point with Dusty today. It's a lot like in the NFL. There's a reason why you have two-a-days, to mm-hmm. get your body familiar with contact and grown man, you know, just banging around.
Right.
Shaden had a couple days of that in Portland, and it's a different level of competition when you're going against another team. It just kind of it ramps up that way. That's just kind of how it goes. It's a bummer, but it's not the end of the world right now. Now, if surgery comes ramping out, that's not good, Bob. But
I'm going to throw year one just right out, kind of just the way it's going to go. I think this team's going to compete for a play-in playoff spot. And so I can't fathom a rookie that age, that inexperienced, coming off of a shoulder surgery, even in Christmas time. Like, I think he'll just be at the PF mm-hmm. getting shots, getting work. And you don't see him much, if at all, year one. And they say, hey, we'll throw you in summer league year two. We'll get excited again. We'll all go down there again and see what happens.
Yeah, no, that all of that tracks. Other stuff happened while I was down there. Damian Lillard got a contract extension.
Hey!
I can tell you right now, that was one happy family.
Turns out getting almost $500 million in just career earnings makes you kind of happy.
Yeah. Ran into his people, the good ones, and Nate Jones and Dame's wife and the kids and I believe his sister. A big Lillard contingent. Phil Beckner was there. Got to catch up with everybody and just kind of take a look and kind of see where everything's at. You guys, I'm sure, ran audio on it this morning, and Dusty and I ran audio on it. The big takeaways for me are everybody just needs to relax on Damian Lillard going anywhere in the next year or two.
Tell that to ESPN and Fox Sports 1 because they both ran today with he needs to get out of
yep.
there.
And guess what? I had reporters from ESPN telling me before the press conference that he needs to get out of there. They vehemently believe it.
Oh, I mean, Chris Broussard's basically knocking his
yeah, not calling him an elite.
Talent.
Yeah, I know. That's, yes. This, I mean, the 6-time All-NBA guy is not elite. Just go to
top 75 all time. It's yeah. like, what are you watching?
By the way, did you see that ring?
Who? Dame. Oh, Dame's top 75 thing? Yeah, that thing was blingy.
Yeesh. Ocasio brings up a really good point. Dame was unusually NBA ready. Dame is jacked right now. he looked like he was in the best shape of his life.
He told Cassidy Hubbard that. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you saw this.
Yeah,
after,
I was
but
like, it was right next to me. But the, like his whole regiment that he's kind of sat down with Sam, his boxing coach, Phil Beckner, obviously his basketball trainer, his dietitian, his chef, the basketball staff of the Blazers, and everybody got him on the same page. And he looks ready. And in talking to his people, like, he is chomping at the bit to play basketball.
Yep.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the one thing, I know we'll get into a couple other things here, but it is really one of the saving graces for me mentally. When we talk about this and people are like, what do you think of their offseason? Like, well, I like this move. I don't like that move. I like this move. I like this. It's a gamble. You know, it's middle of the road for me. And I kind of feel like no matter what I say, Joe echoed those sentiments at the press conference of this is not it. This is, you know, this is going to be our team. I think we're going to cause a lot of havoc and not be an easy out for teams, but we're not finished yet. Yeah. I like that he said that. But my assurances mentally, I think a lot of people, and I'll throw some Blazer fans, some, not all, some, I guess a lot of Blazer fans are just dismissing what a healthy Lillard is and not seeing him, even seeing him play last year was like,
just show himself.
I mean, we talked about this. You got called out by other media members in the market, like, oh, he's not hurt. Yeah, he was. He was too hurt. He shouldn't have played at all. He should have shut it down right after the Olympics. But he waited a while, and then he finally did shut it down. I think we're going to get that Dame that is oh so special to all-time greatness and the rest of Blazer contingent. That's always kind of been my kind of saving grace, is this team may not be perfect roster-wise, but that dude by himself, I've seen him lift skinny
rosters. He's an offense unto himself.
Yes.
People forget. And that was the thing. That was actually a sentiment that I had from a lot of people down there, was like, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, they're going to be, like, an okay team, but I think people have, like, forgotten what Damian Lillard is. It's been, like, 8 months.
Yep.
It's not like the guy's, you know, it's not like he's coming off an Achilles or blew up his knee. Like, he had a elective abdominal surgery that literally everybody has ever had that has come back, if not the same, better. Like, it's not something that it hampers guys.
It's going to feel like two additional players, like, with how good he is. Yeah. That's how I viewed it.
It's going to be a big, big deal. But the extension goes in. It was reported as 121. I talked to some league executives and some salary cap folks. They expect it to ultimately fall at, like, 114, 115 total, which may drop Dame from being, like, the first $60 million a year guy. I don't think Dame cares that much. I think the fact that he's close to $500 million in career earnings, I think he's good, plus his Modelo, Adidas, Gatorade.
That dude's going to make $1 billion. He is going to be a billionaire.
Yeah, because everything that I've ever heard is that he is very, very good with his money and what he does. You know, he's currently building a castle in West Lynn, which good for him. Like, all the stuff that people say about him, like, wanting to be here, like, he's here for the long haul. He's going to be Terry Porter. He's going to be Brian Grant. He's going to be a guy who just stays here. Like, that's when he, even if he goes somewhere else, he'll still live here when it's all said and done. He loves it here.
He's not going anywhere else.
No. Okay. I'm just saying. The last year of his deal is a player option, which is to be expected. I know Hyken asked Joe publicly to whether or not he could confirm, and Joe did what he had to do, which is standard operating procedures for the Blazers, which is they don't discuss the deals publicly. Obviously, Bobby Marks, I believe, had the deal notes later. I'll just do the math on where Bobby Marks got that from, probably from Lillard's side of everything. But congratulations, Dame. I got to talk to him for a few minutes and say congrats. let me hold something for you. But other than that, I mean, that's everybody freaking out about it. He's at a 35% max right now. It doesn't change anything.
No.
He's just going to continue to get 35% max.
I'm sorry. Like, the freaking out, the salary cap, worry people. Please walk me through the world you live in where you're not having a great player and you're not paying them and your roster somehow is this, like, perfect depth-building monster.
Well, they see James Harden taking a pay cut. The reason why James Harden is taking a pay cut is because he fell off a freaking cliff.
Nobody was going to pay that dude.
Yeah. He could opt in for that 1 year, and then Philly was going to go, okay, see you later, bye.
Right.
Because we're not going to do that. Right. Or we can give you more money over the long haul, but we're going to cut your salary in a third.
Yeah.
Dame might ultimately end up doing in his year 36 season. Chris Paul did it. Like, it's not uncommon for that to happen. But they want that guarantee, that money, in case they turn into Russell Westbrook or John Wall, they're not viable NBA players anymore.
Right.
So, shout out Dame. Way to get the bag. Nurkic's contract. Brandon, Jusuf Nurkic got all 4 years guaranteed, and I said I'd be shocked if that happened. Color me shocked.
Color me pissed.
I talked to a lot of folks who all kind of hit me with the same. All four?
Shocked, dismayed. I'm flabbergasted. I would love nothing more than to sit with Mr. Cronin and say, hey, man, I like the swing on Shaden. I'm glad that Mike Schmitz talked you into that. I like that you guys went and got Jabari. He's looked fine so far. I like that you locked up Ant. I like that you got Dame to stay. Jeremy Grant deal was good.
I can tell you right now, I think I need Rich Paul to negotiate my next deal at 1080.
I'm going to need Rich Paul to do anything for me in my life. Like, Rich Paul wiping my ass would probably do a substantially better job than I do. Like, I don't know what he did or what he said. It just doesn't make sense to me. We talked a little bit about it off the air, and you can walk us through this, the structure of stuff. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I repeat, no team was giving that man 4 years. I repeat, no team was offering that dude $17.5 million.
Nor that money.
So it's just, it left me scratching my head. I thought at most it'd be a 3 for a 1, and I didn't even like that. And now you tell me it's 4 guaranteed. It's not an impossible contract to trade for a team desperate for center play, but damn it, do I not like that deal?
The way it was explained to me is they need the salary slot, and they do. They don't have a Norman Powell. They don't have a Robert Covington. They don't have, like, this is a salary slot situation.
Are they under the belief of that? That's fine. Are they under the belief that they can move that and replace that salary slot?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the idea behind it.
That's my saving grace out of this misery, because I just not a fan.
So they need a starting big, and Chauncey does love Nurk. He absolutely does. But they do believe in him, but they also need that salary slot. And the way it was kind of described to me from multiple NBA folks, let's just say that, was that, hey, listen, is it a great deal? No. But the first 2 years, you're paying 15 and 16, or 15 and a half, 16 and a half.
Yeah, it escalates in the back end.
So it's like, it's his year 30 or your 31-year-old season, it's an expiring deal at 19. And that sounds like a lot right now, but in 3 years, when the cap goes up, it's nothing. It's basically like another $14 or $15 million a year deal. It's really not that much. The problem is if he is actually, like, unplayable. That's when it becomes a problem.
And stylistically, with where is this team leaning, that's, you know, that was another big part of this.
Yeah.
Personality stuff. Injury stuff. There's like 4 or 5 things that I just don't like. It's not just money. Like, go get your money. I don't care what you make, but I do look at the money you're making and go, well, how does that work with what the team is looking to do? Does that make sense? And that's where you kind of lose me.
Yeah. So the first 2 years, they're probably about on par. And then as it goes up, that salary slot basically remains the same percentage wise. So the only real beef I have with it, other than it being a little bit more financially, is the fourth year being guaranteed. Not thrilled about that.
Yeah.
I would definitely have.
Why do you think they did that? They didn't need to do that. He would have signed that deal if it was a 3-1.
I think they kind of did. Because if let's take a look at the market right now.
I want you to walk this through. Yeah, make this make sense to me.
So if you look at where bigs ended up in the market, even though other bigs went cheaper, those other teams had other options. And that's the part of this, is Portland did not have other options. They were not going to be able to get a replacement level center unless they traded for one, which I don't think they necessarily wanted to do unless it was Ayton. And I think what was needed for that to happen was just too much of a pain in the ass, which is why you haven't seen an Ayton deal done yet. But they could have just used the MLE on a big. Yes, they could have. If a big wanted an MLE to come here. Or why didn't the Blazers use the MLE to go get a backup big? Look who went for the MLE. They all went to starters. They all became, or if they aren't starters, they're getting heavy minutes.
Right.
Like Hartenstein's the only one who went to New York, and that kind of threw everything off, and Bamba went back to Orlando. And that's still a little bit of a weird situation. But then, like, once it got past those guys, there's no option of like, well, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of this was getting him to shut it down early.
Yeah, there's going to be
a tax there.
Right. Especially in a contract year, unrestricted, like, you knew there was some kind of an agreement.
And that tax, I firmly believe, is the fourth year.
I'll say this. I still don't agree with all of it. That fourth year, that contract, that better be coming with some clutch love down the road. I'll say that much.
I would imagine that not necessarily quid pro quo.
Yeah,
but,
right. But right.
But a relationship building process is certainly
back
in place.
Scratching. We're back. We're scratching backs. Yeah.
So, it's. Yeah. Again, not thrilled about it, but not also against it. And the Blazers did just tip off about 2 minutes ago here. They're down 8-0 early on to the Knicks Summer League squad, which is a good transition to Jabari Walker. Jabari Walker has been the fun of Summer League for the Trailblazers. 57th overall pick. That's if you get a viable NBA player in the second round, you are doing very good. If you get a viable NBA player with the second to last pick in the draft, ladies and gentlemen, that is a home run. And right now, and without getting into the hyperbole of this, he very much feels like an NBA caliber guy. Much the same way I felt about Trendon. Not quite the same I felt about Anthony, as far as like, holy shit, there's something here. When I look at Jabari, I go, I can see him getting a second contract in the NBA.
Which is huge.
Which most guys don't in the second round. And do I see him being a starter? No. But do I see him being an absolute contributor at some point in his career? Yes. Why? Because he's 6'8". He's toolsy. He can shoot. He can dribble a little bit. He can pass a little bit. He's an incredible decision maker for a young guy. And let's not forget, the guy has an absolute wagon. And listen, when you got a wagon like that with that size and IQ, you're going to stick in the league, man.
For those out of the loop on that term, that means fat ass.
Man has a butt dunk.
He's a big boy.
Every bit of 6'8". He's every bit.
So I had Richmond on this morning because I figured you were still hungover. And Richmond had said basically, it helps to grow up with your dad playing in the NBA. And absolutely. And Samaki was never like an amazing player, but Samaki was a good role guy, that you were like, shit, Samaki Walker's a good player. And he really kind of has the same vibe. It's not just like that he looks like him. It's that he looks like him, if you know what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to jump to conclusions here. I'm not telling you this guy's going to play 15 to 25 minutes. He does very well feel like somebody that in a moment they're like, we need a 6'8" guy. Jabari, we're playing the Pistons. We got foul trouble. Come on in. And I think those are the moments you could see him. It's encouraging. And I'm not trying to jump to conclusions here with comps, but who did we draft in the second round the year that we drafted Zach Collins? Right? So maybe they hit on it again, and Joe was a part of that team. So maybe Joe, paired with Schmitz, paired with everybody else, they identified him and said, hey, this is one of the leading scorers in the Pac-12. He's one of the more proficient three-point shooters and rebounders, and he's 6'8". He's not overly athletic, but he's smart. He knows how to use his body. That's a player that can find themselves lasting in the league. And so I still have a lot of optimism. I'm in no way giving up on Shade. And I'm still all in on the Shade Sharp stuff.
Let's go ahead and roll that back for all the people who are on that cliff.
Well, yeah, but my point is, like, sometimes you find some gems. And I said this, I think, on the pod going into Summer League. I was excited to see what he was going to be. I wanted to see what kind of player he was, because his size is instantly, you gravitate towards it on this team.
Yeah, 100%. A couple things in here. Somebody said they still threw away the 46th pick. I asked around about that. They didn't throw away the 46th pick. They were looking at somebody, or they were interested at somebody at that pick, and that they weren't available. So they moved back for a guy that they thought was going to be available in Jabari Walker, and they got more draft capital. They didn't throw anything away. In fact, they got 2 second-round picks. If your guy's not there, your guy's not there. That's fine.
Yeah, you don't want to force the issue.
No. If anything, I think that's smart business by the Blazers. If they don't think that their guy is there, the object of the draft is get the guy that you think is best at the lowest possible position. That's how you get value.
Right.
If you can do that and you can consistently find your way to trade back, do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. Roster status. So in some discussions, I wouldn't be surprised if the Blazers carried 14 people. I think they're going to go with 15 going into the season. I think they're done for right now. I think that calculus changes if Shaden does have surgery, where there's one less guy that's possibly in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's going to be an open competition for the backup 5 spot between Trenton Watford and Drew Eubanks.
Another area that I'm nervous.
I love how hard both those guys play.
Sure.
Neither of them are big enough to be a full-time 5.
No.
As evidenced by the Detroit game.
Is there anybody on a scrap heap you could imagine them?
Yeah, there's a couple scrap heap bigs. God, let me pull them back up. I was looking at.
Well, I've mentioned this to you before. I instantly gravitated towards a name that has turned into this position because of injury in his career, and that was Boogie, just because of the relationship factor with Dame. We talked about that a little off the air, and you don't think that that's feasible or that's going to happen, and that's fine. But that's kind of the avenue I was steering down. Is there somebody like that that would make sense for them and get him in here in the cheap to play with Dame Lillard and get back into the playoffs?
I don't think it would be like a legit big. I definitely don't see Boogie on that list. And obviously Montrez, people have brought that up. Guys, Montrez probably isn't going to be in the league. Montrez has got legal issues to take
care of. The drug trafficking doesn't help.
Yeah. so let's not talk about Trez or Miles Bridges, okay?
Jeez, 2 Hornets, man.
But you've got Markieff Morris, you got Mook out there. Bielitsa went overseas, so he's off the board. It sounds like Blake may end up signing in L.A. again. Millsap's probably a little too washed. Could you talk me into LaMarcus? Yeah, pretty easily.
You think there's interest there? Coming home, they're not really a title contender.
No, but does, like, after playing with that shit show on the Nets, maybe a little bit of normalcy?
And this is obviously nostalgia speaking for me. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't be mad. It would be really cool to just watch him run a pick and roll with Dame, and that first, like, either he hits the pick and pop, or is like a give and go, or, you know, some kind of scenario that would make us all feel really good. I don't give a shit what the record is at that point. Like, in that moment,
some nostalgia would be fun.
Yeah. We're all in that moment together going, oh, my heart is full. I feel like the Grinch at the end of the damn movie, man.
I will tell you this. LaMarcus can't play defensively. Like, he just can't move.
No.
But offensively, he's totally fine. As far as, like, if you wanted him for, like, 12 to 18 minutes a night.
Brooklyn did not want to play him.
No. But I'll tell you, would I trust him more than I trust either Trendon or Drew as a rim protector? Is it, like, even a little bit of a deterrent? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because he's legit 7 foot, and he's built like a truck. He's probably got 40 pounds, if not more, on both those guys.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Trendon is quickly becoming one of my favorite interviews because his accent is incredible, and he's just a good old, just down-home good dude. But he looks like he's about 6'6 and a half.
Yeah, he doesn't look overly tall.
No.
But he's a big body.
He plays strong. He plays very strong. But I'll tell you this. When you saw him up against Duren, did you see the difference?
Huge. And Jalen Duren's 18.
It's nutty.
Hey, I know he got most of his buckets against Portland by slapping the backboard from easy dunks. Was there not a party? It was like, holy shit, did a lot of teams in this league miss on this kid? He's 18.
Listen, man.
And he plays with fire. I love it.
He plays angry.
I love that.
He dunks so hard. Like, everybody in press row was like, that's Dwight Howard.
When he slapped the backboard, he had apologized to the ref for it, by the way. He slapped it. The ball went kind of rolling. I was like, that's kind of the part of him that had me interested of, like, were the Blazers really going to knock down that door and say.
Oh, your mic kind of boggled there. Nope, you're there. You're there.
There we go.
It just kind of shorted out real quick.
Yeah.
Let's get to some questions here real quick while the game's still running here. Jelani Greenridge, shout out Jelani, said asked me earlier during the show with Dusty about naming rights for Moda, and I needed to check this. I need to check the date on it, but he has it as 2023. I thought it was 2024, but the naming rights are up for Moda relatively soon, as is the lease for the grounds, which, like, all of this stuff is kind of coming up at the same time, which I would imagine factors into, you know, why Jody is saying that we're not selling for 10 years, da, 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 a million other things. And that's right. Did we get a chance to talk about the? No, we did. No, we did. We talked about the no. Yeah, we did talk. I had to think about that. Did we talk about the post? Did we talk about Ron Wyden? I would imagine that stuff's not done too either. But I don't believe that the Moda rights have been renewed yet. I have not heard anything about that. So it'd be interesting to see if there are naming rights coming back out of that.
If Uncle Phil can step in here, give her a couple hundred mil.
Listen, the Nike Rose Garden.
I don't give a shit if it has Nike on it or not. Go back to the Rose Garden and let's just say, what is that $6 million really going to do for us?
The Rose Garden brought to you by Nike. Who cares?
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't care. As long as we get the Rose Garden back, I miss the logo. I miss the font. I miss it all. Bring it back. I'd love it.
Jared Kelly, do you think the Blazers will pay the luxury tax this season or try to duck it? They're hard capped, but they're over the tax right now. I believe they have about $5.5 million worth of space. I think they're going to be a tax paying team this year, which they're fine.
I know
it'll be the smallest penalty. They are 3 years away from being in the repeater zone.
Repeater tax.
So not too worried about that.
What's the repeater? It's like what every $4 to $1 you spend or something
on where you get to. Like, the Warriors are at the max of $7 for every $1.
Yeah, it's seven for them.
But it starts at $1.50 for every dollar. Then I think $3.50, $4.50, $7. I think that's the escalator. So that's why the Warriors didn't match on Gary Payton II, because his $8.8 million contract was going to cost them $68 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
They like to brag about how much money they make and bringing all these people in. They even had limits to how much they want to spend.
Listen, man, $70 million a year on GP2 is a lot of GP2. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, it's a lot on GP2.
Jared also wants to know who the other team was that was chasing Gobert. I'm not going to say it just because that one was told to me in confidence. But I will say that the offer I thought was relatively fair. For Gobert, it was just that Tim Connelly came in over the top and just dropped a bomb. That's how they got that deal done.
Well, you know what's funny is, and I kind of had this thought, this opinion, but I loved that when that trade happened and the whole world went, what? Mm-hmm. I loved the instant, what's Kevin Durant going to get? And my first thought was, not that. Like, yeah, there's a lot of players involved. There's no all-stars. So, of course, yeah. They have to add the draft capital to entice them to take that.
It's still going to be really interesting. That's another one. I think Donovan Mitchell's going to get moved here in the next couple weeks.
Boy, there was a story today. I forget where I saw it, but there's a rumor.
That was the scuttlebutt in Las Vegas.
That Ainge is not sold on Donovan as an old franchise guy.
No, not just that. The Utah Jazz are standing on this, we're not going to move him. We're not going to move him. He's a part of this team. Bullshit. Just sold your second-best player off for four first-round draft picks. You sold Royce O'Neal off for a draft pick. You moved off from Joe Ingles and his bird rights. Like, you've done everything you can to strip this thing down. Everybody knows you're tearing it down, Danny. Knock it off. And there's been some scuttlebutt that Donovan is going to ask his way out. So
I mean, he's going to what, Yankees or Mets? He's one of those. Like, he's going to those. He's openly saying, "Please trade me."
Yeah, no, I ultimately think he ends up in one or the other city of New York or Miami. Which
that's
is what
interesting.
It's weird because we talked about this for about a year now, which again makes sense because CAA's agency has basically soft launched that for that period.
So who would you get in return of that? Would you get Duncan and Tyler?
I think it would end up being a three-way deal where Kevin Durant ends up in Miami. I would imagine.
So you get Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, and Kevin Durant?
No. No, I'm sorry. Mitchell ends up in Brooklyn. I'm sorry.
Oh, gotcha.
KD in Miami. And then and then Ben Simmons ultimately ends up in Utah.
You know what? He might actually thrive in Utah. Or it
turns
his vibe.
Or it turns into a four-team deal where Utah gets more assets out of that as well. Which, all right, cool.
Okay. Utah wants all the assets. They want all the assets they can get.
They want to go and do exactly. Danny wants to do exactly what Danny did in Boston.
Oh, it's 100% what he's doing. Yeah. I mean, that there's a reason Windhorst. Why would they do that? Yeah. Windhorst knows.
He's not an idiot. What was the craziest Blazer rumor you heard in Vegas?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Nah, nothing that I can say, but a couple decent ones as far as like deals that got close to being talked about, but nothing that we haven't talked about on here already. So, Austin says, any chance we see Jabari Walker get the 15th roster spot instead of the two-way? I legitimately believe that's a real discussion for the Blazers. There are some potential financial implications of a two-way versus a actual roster spot.
Yeah.
So how much money they do or don't save, I think could factor into this. And if they did somehow end up ducking the tax, the $800,000 that they could save between going one route or the other could ultimately be the difference between them being able to like effectively duck the tax and not. I don't know if that's going to be anything, but you know, if you can save $1 million, save $1 million. However, I am pro Jabari getting the bag. So go get the bag. James says, if Jabari continues to play well, do you think we could see him at three in backup minutes? I think Jabari is very firmly a four.
I was going to say he has a vibe of a four.
Could he eventually get there where they play a big-ass three? Yeah. Cool. I haven't seen enough of him in space defensively to really know where he stands with that. Preseason, if he gets some minutes against like real NBA guys and he's on the wing against some threes, it'll be really interesting to see how fluid he looks. It's one thing to look fluid in Pac-12 basketball, guarding threes and fours. It's another to do it in the NBA. He's interesting.
Well, it's also like not only Pac-12, which is a pretty shitty conference, but it's also summer league guys are not even close to what he would face in the regular season. So I would just lean with his body type. He's more of a four.
20,000 Thorns, your favorite personal injury attorney, Bill Borg in Vegas. God, there's so many. There's so many.
My wife was
blown away by this.
I was really jealous, man. I might try to go down next year. I love to say this out loud. And then the time comes and I'm like, meh.
Listen,
I really want it.
We'll leave the wives and we'll just do a 3-day trip.
That's, yeah, that ain't. I don't know if that's flying. I'm sure that'll happen.
Oh, how about we both bring the wives, and we go work, and they play.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of want to do it without.
We can figure it out.
Because it's just going to be basketball for me. Like, that's all I want to do. Yeah. I won't even, like, be going out. Like, people go to the club. No, I don't give a shit about that.
For anybody who doesn't know, anybody
I'll
who
gamble,
works,
go to bed.
Who works summer league, because you watch basketball for, like, 8-9 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, you go out to dinner with folks, and you have one night of debauchery. One. You don't do multiple, otherwise you will pay the eternal cost.
Yeah. You're not going to last.
You will, and you can't do more than 4 days. If you do more than 4 days, my very first summer league, I did 2 weeks.
Golliver is down there for the whole
entire time. I ran into PG the night before I left. He's like, "How long are you down here for?" I'm like, he's like, "God." He looked at me like, "Oh, but like, God, I wish."
What is he going to do down there for that long?
Cover everything. Listen, man, he's getting his Marriott points. He's good.
I was gonna say he's just building up the shit.
Yeah, he's building up his points. He's fine. Colin asks, any word if the biannual TPE are going to be used to get a bench 4 or 5? Again, I don't think they're going to. Jared Vanderbilt would look great playing in Rip City. Colin, you are absolutely
100% correct.
Vando would be a wonderful addition that would solve a lot of questions, at least for me. But I think that the hope is that they think, you know, Trendon can turn into that. Which I don't think it's a huge stretch.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt is a different level for me. Like I really wanted to see if they could somehow finagle their way into that deal, but you know, whatever.
Red Street Racing, any thoughts on why the entire team made it to Vegas to watch the first game besides Hart? Coincidence, or I just don't think Josh was around. But everybody
I don't read into that stuff though either. No. Like some of these dudes, it's just vacation. Some guys are like, "Hey, summer leagues. What I'm all about summer league."
Jeremy literally was in Europe when free agency opened. He was at a fashion show.
I'd be less concerned about where Josh Hart was. Not that this person's concerned, but like, just as an example, I'd be less concerned about where Josh Hart was when they took a team photo than I would be the fact that Russell Westbrook sat across the court from LeBron and they didn't talk.
Yeah,
that would concern me more.
Speaking of concerning, the first quarter is in the books of the Summer League Trailblazers. 24-9, they are down to the Summer League Knicks. We are now going to have Richard Jefferson stepping on the court.
I know. What a gimmick. I can't. He's gonna tease somebody up. You know what's coming.
What's going to be funny is when he doesn't call anything.
This is going to be this is a gimmick.
It is. It's to make the ref. He's going to get up when it's done and talk about how hard it is to be an NBA ref and gas the refs up. It's all show. But whatever. It's totally fine.
Is there a reason Jabari didn't start?
I think they're looking at Luka, giving him a shot. Okay. Giving Garza a shot.
So. Not that like it matters all that much to me because, well, it's summer league. But
yeah, and I think it's one of those situations that's just kind of whatever. Maybe in the next couple games you might I would imagine you see more from Jabari as things kind of go, but unless they're competing for like the summer league title, then you're going to start seeing them empty the bench and give those guys who are going overseas some tape. That's what a lot of this turns into. Sonny says Brown is athletic enough to play a three. It seems like Greg Brown has had it hasn't been a great summer for him, but I think he's been trying to show or work on his ability to put the ball on the floor and attack the rim. Like, a lot. It's kind of run through the regulars on the roster right now. Greg has made a concerted effort to get downhill and attack the rim. He's rushed some of his shots, but he's, like, trying to improve his decision-making. I don't know if that ultimately is the best place for him because I really like him as a baseline cutter, slasher, spacer. If his, you know, corner three-point ability ever turns around, because he's a monster, obviously, athletically, to be able to turn those things around. Keon has done some things that make you go, damn.
Keon looked really good that first game, man. I was really impressed with him.
Decision making was incredible. I mentioned it on Twitter. Like, his decision tree was night and day different. I tell you what, man, I hadn't seen Brandon Williams up close because, you know, I did not go to a single one of those games last year when they had him running things. He is so fast. He is so fast. He can get to anywhere he wants on the floor. did not like in game two him being a chucker, so to speak. Wasn't really looking to get guys involved. It's just like, man, come on, you did a great job of getting guys involved. Let's make that happen.
That's where I think sometimes the selfishness of a summer league situation, like, hey, I'm playing for my career too here.
Because he's still on a two-way. He's in that last year of a two-way. He's got to show other stuff in his bag. Didi's not an NBA player, unfortunately.
No.
I'll tell you what, though. He's big as hell. He's a big-bodied guard.
I just don't see it.
No, he's just not there. Who am I forgetting?
Keon, Greg, Trendon, Didi, Brandon. Shaden, we talked Jabari, Shaden. Yeah. I think that's kind of it, really.
Yeah, I think that's all the regulars. Yeah. And I don't. The Blazers don't have anybody on their team that's playing for minutes.
No,
like that's just not where they're going to go. Scott Jones, who do you think makes a leap this year? I mean, I think there could be a real leap from Jabari. I really do. As much as I love Greg, I could see a world where Jabari passes him up just because of his feel. He has an intrinsic feel for the game. I can't remember who I was talking to, but they said something along the lines of, if all things are equal between two players and one of them is the son of a former NBA player, give me the son of the former NBA player. They just understand stuff. They've been around the game their whole life.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately the difference. And that's not to take away from Jabari's work or everything he's put in, but being around the game and understanding stuff. He doesn't, even when he was a little shook in the first couple of minutes, after that, he has just been locked in. It's been really interesting.
He said as much too in the post game of game one. He was like, you know, I was nervous. My eyes were wide. And then he got that and one, and he said it just kind of settled everything for him.
Somebody asked me something about Nas, if he's cleared to play. I don't think he's not clear. I think he's totally cleared to play.
Now, give us an update on this. I thought he looked a little taller, and he looks a little bigger.
Nas is bigger, 100%.
Just width, muscular, or height?
Shoulders. He's big as shit.
Yeah. Please stay healthy. Yeah. Dear God, please stay healthy.
I think his – I have to remember his what exactly he said. Yeah, I've been working out. I've been lifting a little.
He's still young too, isn't he? 22.
Yeah, he's a kid. Yeah, no, he's growing into his grown man body, but he's big. Yeah, no, he lost quite a bit of weight from COVID, and I think he got that back plus then some.
Yeah,
he looks very solid. It was very cool to see everybody down there for the opening game. So. Obviously, they're down there celebrating, Ant's
everybody
contract,
getting paid.
Nurk's contract, Jeremy getting traded.
Dame knew he was going to get that contract,
GP2 was all smiles.
Man, I can't wait to see him play.
Him and Jose Alvarado and back-to-back nights, I got to talk to you for a couple seconds, and both those guys were just – they're the same guy.
Really?
They're the same guy.
Yeah.
Just all energy, all smiles, all just love all the time. It's great. He's Nasir big now. Instead of Nasir little. I like that. I like that. I think that's it, though. I think that's a good place to wrap. You got anything else?
I don't really have much else, man. Okay. I think we hit on everything summer league wise. We gave our thoughts on, it's the contract signing of Nurk, and it's good to have you back. I know you really enjoyed your time down there, and
I'll be around for 2 weeks. Then I go to Pac-12 Media Days.
Boy, have fun on that one. Hey, George, what's new, buddy?
Yeah, we Dusty and I booked this afternoon. So,
did you go to the media hotel?
Yeah.
Well, it's much better that you guys go. We went last year and we were super excited.
The doors weren't even open for you guys, were they?
It was a fucking show, man. It was just like we were the only ones. They were like, we're doing a show in 30 minutes. They were like, this early? And we're like, yeah, we're a 6 a.m. morning show. Our first guest didn't arrive till 8:30. Our show ended at 9. I'm like, I'm so glad we're here, and ended up we didn't get a lot of content, but I'm glad you guys are going.
No, we'll be down there for that, and then I will be heading out mid-August to take the wife to Harry Potter World in Orlando. So other than that, I will be around. We will have content going and flowing. I've got a Gary Payton II video that I'm working on right now. I've got this game tonight recording, and then I've got the first two that I need to go back and do some film stuff on Jabari. The plan was to do it for Shaden. It has now moved to Jabari. But he's kind of the new fun and interesting thing, so I'll have that. I think the Gary Payton video is about 75% done, so hopefully I'll have that out Wednesday, Thursday. I've got a ton of stuff to catch up on over the next couple days. But we will have the live show on Thursday, and then I will have – this is when I was going to start dropping out video content. So we'll talk about Fitz. We'll talk about GP2. We'll talk about Jeremy Grant. I've got Omari Sankofa from Detroit coming on to talk about Jeremy Grant's fit. I wanted to wait until all the deals were done and finalized to kind of get a better understanding of what the roster was going to look like, where Grant was going to fit into everything. So I'll have him come on here, I think, next week. And then a ton of video content. So we'll keep doing live shows, the two a week that we're doing, but I'll also be drip feeding you video content, as I said earlier before. Other than that, the Blazers have caught back up to 28-22 now. This isn't going to go well on the podcast, but there's 6 minutes to go.
Watch
the
them
quarter.
Win the damn game now. It's just like,
and,
oh.
Go catch back up and watch a little summer league basketball. It's kind of interesting because the Blazers are picking up full court right now, and that's something that's the Blazers the aggressiveness I've noticed from their defense. Mm-hmm. Well, the effectiveness maybe not so there, but the idea of how aggressive they're going to be was certainly on display. We'll end it there. Thank you all very, very much. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Help us grow the show. We just had our best month ever on Jack Ramsey, so thank you all for that. That was huge for us, and I think it's going to be a good jumping off point. We are now officially in the dog days, ladies and gentlemen. After Summer League stops, it is going – COVID put us in a position where we just had basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have 2 months off. And
yep.
So it's going to kind of – that's what it's going to be. But like I said, I'm going to have some video content coming out, some original content, I should say. And then make sure you listen to Dirt and Sprague in the morning and Danny and Dusty in the afternoons.
Yeah, the 1080 bros.
The 1080 bros. You can find us on social media at Danny Marink, at Bannon Sprague, at Jack Ramsey's. Email the show, jackramseys@gmail.com. Like, rate, review, subscribe. Help us grow the show. For Brandon, I'm Danny. Thank you all so very much. Go enjoy the rest of the game, and we will catch you guys on Thursday. Until then, take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.